A reading from the Gospel of John. Peter turned and saw the disciple following, whom Jesus loved, the one who had also reclined upon his chest during the supper and had said, "Master, who is the one who will betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is it of yours? You follow me." So the word spread among the brothers that that disciple would not die. But Jesus had not told him that he would not die, just, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is it of yours?" It is this disciple who testifies to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things that Jesus did, but if these were to be described individually, I do not think the whole world would contain the books that would be written. In this Gospel reading, Peter has heard Christ's call to follow him, and there's no doubt in his mind that that is what he will do until the end of his life. He wonders, though, what Jesus has in store for John. Jesus doesn't really answer Peter's question, "Lord, what about him?" Not directly, at least. Jesus tells Peter not to worry about John's vocation. You follow me," he says to Peter. The implication is that the two apostles are not to share the same fate. We do read in the book of Acts that Peter and John preached together, gave witness together in Jerusalem, in Judea. But after a time, Peter goes to Rome, whereas John doesn't. Also in the first reading, Paul is preaching to the Jews in Rome while under house arrest, awaiting to plead his case before the emperor. It isn't said anywhere in Scripture that Peter and Paul preached together in Rome. Neither do we see any of the other apostles working with them. The other apostles are elsewhere in the Roman Empire. Peter and Paul have other companions, new converts. Those converts will eventually preach, not only in Rome, but also elsewhere, and they will not necessarily become martyrs, either in Rome or elsewhere. The early church is expanding. The fellowship of the 12 apostles no longer works and travels together as a single unit, not in the way they used to before Jesus ascended into heaven. Their unit is now the church. Their unity is in the Holy Spirit. And they no longer need to dwell all together in the same house, in the same city, in the same province of the Roman Empire. Preaching the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ has given birth to multiple missions. Paul's missions throughout the Greek and Roman world, the missions of other apostles that we know about. Each of those apostles and their converts with them is founding small communities of Christians. They don't have cell phones, they don't have email and fax machines. They aren't in constant, instantaneous communication with each other, the way so many people are today. And yet, they are not founding rival communities. They aren't competing against each other, the way so many people today are competing and doing their best to eliminate other players in their field. The apostles and their disciples aren't in communication, they are in communion. They are in communion in the Holy Spirit. That is, they trust in a deeper form of contact than an exchange of words over a telephone. People can argue over words. Believers in Christ can and do argue about words and language and human speech. Not so the apostles of Jesus. Communion in the Holy Spirit doesn't need cell phones and email. Communion in the Spirit is built on love, the same love with which God loves each and every one of us. A love deep enough to trust in us and to confide in us and to ask us to trust in our own work in building the church. That is how Christ founded his church here on earth, a church of apostles and disciples with different missions, different vocations, each in communion in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.